Well, the market saw a bit of a bounce today, but there's a lot of influences out there, both from a grain and livestock perspective. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield, and Zach Hooker joins us once again. He's with Comstock Investments. And let's kind of just talk about what we saw first in this grain market, the market bounce within them. What do you think were some of the biggest movers for a Friday trade?
Really a solid end to the week here across the board in most of the ag commodities as we approach the end of the trading session here, with grains and the livestock giving us some positive momentum as we head into the weekend. Corn and soybeans both got a nice boost from news that the U.S. and China had signed a trade deal early this morning. We have yet to see any details on in terms of ag commodities in this new trade deal, as the majority of it centered around some rare earth minerals. But with word that we should see a new trade deal signed before July 9th, the fact that 10 has been set to paper, I think, was enough to give us some support to end the week.
So beyond that, I mean, you talk about China. No ag was mentioned in this temporary agreement that's going on. Disappointment to agriculture. Do you think the markets might play a little bit more on that come next week?
I think they will. Again, I think there's going to remain some hope, as President Trump did say today, that there would be more subsequent trade deals signed, like I said, prior to July 9th. I also just saw some news that we have officially terminated trade talk with Canada. I think that may play into the conversation a little bit as we move into next week as well.
You know, the overall depression within these markets, what was going on this week? What was in the mode that we saw in all the trade action from, you know, the start of the week till this afternoon?
Yeah, the grains have been fairly depressed as of late, and I think that's due to several things. Of course, globally, trade has remained a question mark and will continue to remain a question mark. We continue to hear reports of a very big safrinha crop coming out of South America, with Brazil leading the way and recently Argentina reporting a very strong crop as well. There's also some seasonal slide as we approach the 4th of July. Combine that with some high acreage expectations, good crop conditions, and you've got a fairly bearish sentiment overall.
We do have a big report coming out on Monday. Sometimes those reports throw some surprises at us. Do you see that as a push for Monday's trade?
We do. The acreage report coming out Monday should dictate a lot of what we see in the trade next week. If acres are lower than what we have traded through today, we could have a bit of a bullish surprise. And with high prevent plant acres coming out of the southeast, that is a possibility. Of course, once we get those numbers, we will start to trade yield and getting out and about, at least in my part of the country. I would say on average, the corn looks good, but it's fairly inconsistent field to field and even row to row. I'm not entirely sure if that's indicative of the country as a whole, but we are approaching the part of the summer where moisture really begins to matter. So as we get into these hotter, drier months, I think a few well-timed rains will have a big impact on the quality of the crop we get this year.
So switching gears over to the livestock, first to the very uneventful quarterly hogs and pigs report, but there was a lot of questions out there, Zach, and as I talked to some commodity folks and to pork producers themselves, they're really questioning some of those numbers when it surrounds the isowean weight because of PERS and other happenings. What was your takeaway of that report?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, talking to customers and pork producers, I think I question the numbers as well. I think if those hogs did exist, a lot of them were probably lost to PERS. So we'll see if there's potentially some revisions to those numbers as we continue to move forward through the summer.
And then on the livestock side, for the cattle numbers, cash, second week in a row, we saw some depressed numbers there as well. A little bit of a pullback going on.
Yeah, a little bit in the cash, but really an impressive finish in the cattle complex today in the futures, with live and cattle feeder both posting some weekly highs and even towards the end of the session kind of helping pull the hogs up a little bit. I think many of us have been waiting for today to happen to lift us out of this lull we've seen of late, just the kind of the sideways movement that we've seen over the past several trading sessions. I'm not saying that this is going to continue into next week, because, as you said, the cash market is kind of there's just been some question marks there. But with boxed beef continuing to climb like we have seen in the index and remaining at a premium to the feeder futures, as well as, you know, despite the cash market being fairly quiet and fat cattle still sitting at a premium to the futures, signs have kind of pointed this direction. Now, news of the Tyson workers in Amarillo going on strike, in addition to rumors of several other potential plant closures or issues throughout the country, could easily erase what we saw today in the cattle complex, but the extent of that may wait until next week.
All right, lots to happen next week, especially with another a shortened week because of the 4th of July holiday.
Yeah, absolutely. We're approaching the 4th of July weekend, and I really can't believe I'm saying this, but we're fairly deep into summer now. I think consumer demand is going to continue to be the deciding factor on where we go from here. I heard this morning packers are sitting at around $30 a head profit after being in the red for several months. Will this give them what they need to keep us going into the fall, or will we see slaughter slow considerably, as has kind of been the expectation of many as we round out the summer months? I think heifer retention remains a key question for the long term, as weather has kind of seemed to favor herd expansion, at least through the Northern Plains and Mountain West, but have these record high prices kind of been too good to pass up? I think we should get some answers on that in next month's Cattle on Feed report. And then, of course, the threat of New World screwworm is kind of still looming and sitting on the back burner, giving traders and hedgers plenty of question in the coming weeks.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks so much, Zach, for joining us today. Zach Hooker joins us. He's with Comstock Investment. Quick reminder to everybody, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that's the version of the Friday market wrap-up right here with the American Ag Network.